Welcome to Shelby Confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day. Hey, you guys. Today I want to talk about, let me just get into it, but a lot of people have expectations for you or what kind of psych you out of believing in yourself. And prime example of that is when I was younger, and I've explained to you guys, my mom had abandoned me with my grandparents. I wasn't a talkative kid. Like, after that traumatic experience with my mom, like, I was just kind of damaged. I didn't want to talk. I didn't talk. Only time I would speak is to my grandfather. But any other time, I was very quiet, which is weird. But I was very quiet. And when I went to school, I was in first grade. You know, when you're in school, they make you read out in class. I always would, in first grade, when the teacher would call me to read, I would turn red. I would turn absolutely red, and it looked like I was about to cry, and I would shake my head no, because I was, you know, everybody attention on me. It just was too much. So the teacher would skip me. And I mean, I still did my homework or whatever. But then when I got to, mind you, I think it was like second or third grade, the teacher I had, her name was Miss Malone, amazing teacher. She wouldn't pass me. She was like, read it. And I started to cry because I couldn't read. It's crazy that I wrote a book and I could, but I couldn't read. And when she noticed it, she's like, okay, we'll work on it. And I was so ashamed, you know, like I was just shame. And so when recess came, she was like, don't worry about it. We'll work on it. And every day you're going to get better at it. And she was like, just stay in here right quick. And I'm going to make some arrangements. And I remember crying to her saying, please don't tell my grandma that I can't read. And she was like, well, why? I was like, because she's going to be very angry. And she was like, well, don't worry about it. She was like, we'll do it. We'll do it at school, and we won't have to tell your. And I was like hysterically crying. I was like, please don't tell her, because my grandmother, like I said, my grandma and my grandfather were two separate people. My grandfather was more loving and, you know, understanding, would talk me through it. But he couldn't read. That was the thing. The highest education my grandfather ever had was kindergarten. Because after that, he had to start working when he was little. So he didn't have an education. So he was more understanding to it. My grandmother, she was very stern and dictative and hard on me. And if you've listened to previous episodes, my grandmother would take out her frustration that she had on my mother on me. And also, my grandmother's representation of love towards the women, not the men. Like, that's all my uncles, my cousins, even my brother, like, you know, they love my grandmother. But to the women, we're bitter about it. All of the women, my cousins included. Because the way she treated women was, I guess she was trying to prepare us for the world. So she was more stern. There was no loving aspect coming from her. And as a woman, you want a relatable elder to be comfortable with. And my grandmother refused to show that love. So I was terrified of my grandmother finding out. So my teacher promised me she wouldn't say anything. And she just made it on my report. She said that I was placed in the honor society. This is what she made it seem like to my grandmother, because my grandma was like, well, why are you getting all this extra work? And so the letter explained to my grandmother that I was in a honor or banner roll program. that I'm excelling or whatever. And so my grandma was like, well, that's good, you know? So when I was at school, class went on as promised. But during recess, I never went out to recess at a point because during recess, I had a tutor. I had a one-on-one tutor. And the tutor would go over words every day. And so I learned how to read that whole grade until when I got to third grade, I excelled so highly that I was placed in honors. Like I made all A's. I had the highest test score, especially in English. And then after that, like middle school, I was placed in the honors program. I was placed in, except my 7th grade year. It was optional and I didn't want to be in it. I don't know why, but I should have stayed in it. And I remember in 7th, 8th grade, it was an optional course. If you would like to, you had to bring the paperwork to your parents for them to sign to put you in honors courses to where you can take, high school courses. And I didn't want to. And the reason being I didn't want to at that time is because I thought it would be more money. And I didn't want, because they would go on trips and do programs and stuff like that. But I knew my grandparents didn't have the money, and I didn't know where my parents were, so I knew that they couldn't financially help me. So it was like I didn't want to be a burden to my grandparents. And that's why I didn't do a lot of like activities that I could have done because I was so worried about finances for my grandparents because they want a fixed income. They were retired. My grandma was still working, but it wasn't enough to cover for me, and they weren't getting finances from my parents, so it was just basically all on them. And I stressed about that. Like, I even remember I made a little hustle in 7th grade in middle school. I remember going to the beauty supply store and buying bandanas. Like, it was really hot with bandanas and colored earrings and colored contacts. Well, one day I was bandana down. Okay, I had one around my neck, one behind my back pockets, one on my wrist, and I wore that on purpose because everybody was like, "Well, Shelby, what you doing?" or whatever. I had the colored shirt, because we wore uniforms, so I had the colored shirt matching my bandanas, all that. I wasn't supposed to wear that, but I wore it on purpose because then everybody was asking me, like, "Shelby, what you doing?" or whatever, whatever. I'm like, "Yo, I sell them." So I would go to a beauty supply store. It was an Asian man, and I would talk to him like, "You look, can I buy this? Like, if I buy a bulk, would you sell it to me for a cheaper price?" And he would, so I would get it discounted. I had to buy it in bulk though. You can't buy like two or three. I would buy it in bulk, and then I would sell it, earrings, everything. I would put it all in my backpack, and I would sell it at school, and I would sell it for double the price, or depending on the price, how it was at the beauty supply store, I would sell it either cheaper, but I was still making my money back because I bought it in bulk discounting. So I made money that way. And I made money on holidays because everybody would come to my grandma's house, but you had to wash dishes and fold your clothes and fix the bed. I would charge people. Like, if you want all that done, you want your clothes ironed, all that, I would charge you. And that's how I made money. But then, I didn't make enough money to where I can feel secure to join all these activities. And the crazy thing is that nobody knew that I had, I couldn't read. Like, I skipped first grade. I had great grades in first grade, but I could not read. I didn't know what and was and that and everything else. And so when you talk to me now, it's kind of baffling because people are like, "What? I didn't believe that." Like, someone I dated, and And it was crazy. I was dating someone and we were in their house and I was like, "Who's that woman in that picture?" And they were like, "That's my mom." I said, "OMG." They were like, "What?" I said, "Your mom was my tutor." She was like, "Tutor? You didn't need a tutor." I said, "No, like," and I had to, that was the first time me speaking about it, 'cause nobody really knew. I was like, I didn't know how to read in second grade and I had to take, classes and your mom, was my tutor. And the person I was thinking was like, "Wow." 'Cause I was writing books then in high school. I wrote two books. But I would pass it around my friends and classmates. So, 'cause at first it started off as a poem and I turned it into a story, but I would pass it around, you know what I mean? And the person I was dating was like, "Shelby, are you serious? Like, you wrote a book. Like, you wrote books. Like, you do poetry. What you mean you couldn't read?" I was like, "No, I really couldn't. Like, I really could not." And I know people listening to me are like, "What?" Because the way the accomplishments I've made, like, basically I've written, published two books of fiction and poetry. And then I'm currently in the works of doing a thriller. It's gonna be a really great story. But I do write poetry all the time with my website. I try to be more expressive when speaking. I try to have more dialect and be open. I try to be open as well as learning. I even have a thesaurus or a dictionary, and I try to, common words that I know, and I want to push the envelope. I'll go look for synonyms to replace, just to expand my intellect on words. But I do that because, not for everybody else, I do that because you don't know how many times I doubted myself. 'Cause at that age, like I said before, I was very, very, abrasive with my emotions. They were all over the place. And when I went home, my grandfather would say, "You're amazing, you're beautiful, my baby girl, I love you." And then I would get from, and I'm not bashing my grandmother. I understand why she did that, because I now when I get criticism, I don't really get affected by it. But to go home as a child and be bashed over and over by my grandmother, it was like the image in her head that she drilled in me is that I would never be anything. And at the time when I was younger, when my cousins would come over, it was like I would get teased by them too. You know what I mean? And at first I was like, I don't really care if y'all like me or not or whatever. But then to have that as well as my mother not being around, my father not being around, like it's really hard to believe that I can do anything, that I could accomplish anything. So in reference to that, it kind of made me an independent person and kind of build me into wanting to succeed, not for everyone, but for myself, to prove to myself that I could accomplish anything I put my mind to. So when writing my books, I did every story I wrote, like I said, I'm not perfect. But every story, I want it to be more descriptive. I want it to be more open. I wanted each reader to feel something other than words combined together to write a sentence, or a sentence making a paragraph that doesn't make you go anywhere. Like, I wanted to push it, and I as an artist, I tried to discover new ways and new openings to express myself, because that was my healing for me. And to the person that believes in what everyone else has to say about them, because at the end of the day, I was expected not to be educated. I was expected not to even talk this way. Like, you know, I went to, you know, kind of a cultural middle school. And even when I would go to class and, you know, the latest craze, you know, of words like the slang, I would try to go back home and use. And, you know, when my mom would visit me, she'd be like, "What you said?" I'd be like, yeah, baby, did it. And I would try to talk like that. Mom, like, no, correct yourself. What did you say? And I was like, "Well, mom, that's how they talk." And she was like, "Just because everybody talks like that doesn't mean you have to. Do you think when you go to," and this is my mom's like speech to me in seventh grade, because she was like, she was really adamant on not culture, but she bought me like a piano one time, and she bought me books and stuff. She was like, "You want to be versatile." And I was like, "What you mean?" She was like, "You want any and everybody to understand you, not just hear you. So when you have a conversation with someone, you have to be willing to be comprehended." And she's like, "I know you have an accent and where we're from, but every room you enter, every interview you go to, or every task you try to do, and when you meet people, they will judge you on the way you describe or articulate yourself." And I was like, "But that's not fair, because they don't really know." And she said, "But that's life." She said, "There will be people who will look at you and not want to associate with you because of the way you look, because of the color of your skin, because they already have a misconception of what you're supposed to be expected to be." Even if you're not. But as soon as you open your mouth and are introduced or begin to express yourself in a descriptive manner to where you're open and that person could fully understand that you are not what they expected, that will open a lot of doors for you. And so every day, if I would say something, she would correct me. And so when I would go back to school, I would hesitate, because I'm talking to my peers, like my friends, and I'm like, "Am I supposed to say this, you know, smash word, or this, you know, this lingo?" Like, it was just really weird. But I'm appreciative of it, because now, if I never would have showed, if you're following my podcast and you actually don't know me, if you never would have seen that picture, you probably wouldn't know what I look like. You probably would have just imagine, possibly, or you probably would have to look it up to see what I look like. And I'm not trying to say, you know, accents aren't important, or, you know, I'm not trying to say anything. What I'm telling you is, I talk the way I do, I respond the way I do all this for me. And after a while, all the expectations that were pushed upon me, like of me not being anything or me not excelling, I have, you know, blessing a true blessing to me is I've excelled that. I mean, I still have a long way to go. I still have more growth to do, but I'm comfortable with the fact I have pushed an envelope. I have crossed the line of what is expected of me. And to people's surprise, like prime example, I seen a commercial where this guy had cerebral palsy, but he wanted to run a marathon. So he did. He did one every year. So this particular year, at the finish line, he just expected it was the ending, you know, didn't think anything of it. And at the finish line, it was Nike with a contract. He is the first person to get a sportsman contract with Nike with a disorder. I'm not saying I have any disorder or whatever. I'm saying that with all the odds against this guy, he pushed and made a name for himself, not for everyone else, but for himself. The expectations that everybody had for him to just be sitting at home, not doing anything, he pushed that by running a marathon every day. Can you do that? Can you do something that is pushed against you or difficult or basically told to you that you are incapable of comprehending or grasping or obtaining or doing, and actually do it not for others but for yourself, to prove to yourself that you actually can accomplish this dream, to not wallow in self-doubt but believe in yourself to actually accomplish it, to like. Crazy thing is in college, I graduated with a 4.0 in medical office assistants, transcriptionist, and pharmacy technician. I wasn't expected to go to college. I went to college. I finished within a year and a half. I worked three jobs full time in rotation with me going to college. I paid for all my schooling. I had my own apartment. I had my own car. I made sure everything was taken care of for myself. Not because it wasn't just because everyone didn't expect me to do it. I did it because I wanted to do it. I did it because I didn't want to doubt myself. I wanted to push myself. I wanted to succeed for me. I wanted all those. She can't, she won't, she cannot, she's not smart enough, she's not brave enough, she's not, sh she can't, she just can't. I wanted those whole, I wanted that whole paragraph or sentences that were combined saying, I cannot do something to be flipped, deleted, erased, and replaced with my accomplishments. For me. So at the end of the day, don't say I can't. Say I am, I can, I will. My school motto in elementary. But it's true. You can. In conclusion, I just want to tell you guys to promise to cherish the day. And it's your girl Shelby Henning signing off. Have a good one, y'all.